Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich in Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The epistle lesson for today is from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20. This can be found on page 1163 of your pew Bible. Christians will face opposition from the spiritual forces of evil, which can only be defeated by God's supernatural power, described in these verses and available to all believers. A reading from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with the 10th verse. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Before I begin, I'd like to pray for us. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, we declare that you rule and reign over us and over this time together. We bind every work of darkness that would try to hinder us from receiving what you have for us today. And we ask for the Holy Spirit to give us truth and revelation so that we would be equipped for the battle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I was sitting across from my friend Aaron at the Barnes & Noble Cafe. I was at an all-time low when Aaron, who was a children's pastor of my church, noticed me and invited me out for coffee one afternoon. So I met up with her and began to pour out my heart for over an hour, just telling her about my fears and frustrations and disappointments in life. And Aaron was quiet the whole time, simply listening and nodding her head. Finally, when I was done talking, she looked right at me and said, "You are in a spiritual battle, and what you are believing are lies from the enemy of your soul." Now, that wasn't what I expected to hear. Here I was pouring out my heart. She wasn't validating my thoughts or feelings. Instead, she was bringing up the devil. You know that funny cartoon guy with the goatee and the horn sticking out of his head with the pitchfork in his hand? Well, at least that's the caricature of the devil that came to my mind. I was actually kind of offended and wanted to get up and leave. But something inside told me to stay and listen to what she had to say. You see, at the time, I didn't know what spiritual warfare was. It is the battle for God's truth over the enemy's lies. I didn't realize that my mind was the battlefield and that I had an invisible enemy, the devil, who was waging war against me. That afternoon, God used my friend Aaron to pull back the veil to reveal the battle I was in and who the real enemy was. And this morning, there might be some of you in this room that's in a similar place, and you don't even realize you're in a spiritual battle. All the negative thoughts, the oppression, that you're dealing with may not even be your thoughts, but it could be lies from the enemy. Our fight and our adversary are invisible, but the effects are very real. Things like fear, anxiety, depression, temptations, addictions. It negatively impacts us and the people we love. But the good news is we don't have to live defenseless or defeated. Jesus has won the battle for us at the cross, and he's equipped us with every spiritual weapon we need to live out our faith victoriously. So we finally come to the end of our Ephesians series, where the first three chapters were all about what God did for us, and the last three chapters are about how to walk out our Christ identity on earth. And Paul, recognizing that we have an invisible enemy, shows us how to fight using the armor of God. So to provide a little bit of context, the city of Ephesus was known for its idolatry and pagan practices, particularly centered around the worship of the goddess Artemis. This would have meant that the early Christians there would have faced opposition and pressure to keep up with the occultic practices that would have compromised their faith and led them astray. So it's no wonder that Paul ends his letter to the Ephesians church that sounds like a battle cry. He exposes the invisible spiritual forces that will try to hinder Christians from successfully living out their Christ identity. So this morning, I want you to imagine that you are a soldier in God's army being equipped for the battle. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. So let's read what Paul says, starting with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Okay, so who is our enemy? Well, first, Paul makes it clear who is not our enemy. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, meaning that our fight is not with people. This is important for us to remember because sometimes it's much easier to pick a fight with a person that you can see than with an evil spirit that you can't see. You see, I don't think it's coincidence that Paul is talking about spiritual warfare right after he writes one of the longest sections on how we're to relate to one another as Christians. I mean, how often do we experience spiritual warfare with the very people that are closest to us, right? With our parents, our children, and our marriage in the workplace. When we experience these struggles, sometimes it's easy to think that the issue is with the person. But what if our battle is not really with them, but it's with the enemy of our souls that could be influencing them and us in a negative way, trying to bring misunderstanding, accusation, and division? Now, this does not mean that people are off the hook, since they're still responsible for their choices and actions. But what Paul is showing us here in this text is that our real enemy is not people, but it's the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This list is a hierarchy of demons that are at work in the world, and their main function is to steal, kill, and destroy. So whenever you see harm or destruction, whenever you feel robbed of peace, joy, hope, confidence in God, that is most likely a sign of the enemy at work. Throughout Scripture, Satan is called a thief, a murderer, a tempter. He's an accuser of the brethren, so remember that the next time you feel condemned. He is the father of lies. He masquerades as an angel of light and prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, there might be some of you sitting right now, and you're hearing all this language about demons and spiritual warfare, and it might make you feel a little uncomfortable. Like, what in the world did I sign up for today? And if that's you, rest assured you're not alone. I remember when I first heard about spiritual warfare, and I wanted nothing to do with demons. I just wanted the clean, PG-rated version of Christianity, you know? Just give me Jesus. All I want is Jesus. Let me run through the field of flowers with Jesus, you know? Even today, spiritual warfare is not one of my favorite topics. But you know what I discovered? My reluctance to acknowledge or engage in spiritual warfare did not spare me from the attacks of the evil one. If anything, I stumbled for years because I was getting attacked and I did not know how to fight back. In this life, none of us can avoid spiritual warfare. If you made a commitment to follow Jesus, you automatically become an enemy of Satan and his demons. Because they oppose God, they will oppose you as a child of God. So there's no way to get around that. But here is the good news. We don't have to be naive or be afraid of Satan and his schemes. Because Jesus actually won the battle for us and equipped us with spiritual weapons so that we can defeat the enemy. Now, I don't have enough time this morning to go over every spiritual weapon that make up the armor, but I encourage you to discuss this with your life groups this week and also check out our daily podcasts that will cover each of the armor. Where I want to spend the remainder of my time today is maybe highlight just two of the spiritual weapons and show you how to use it when you're being attacked, because I think that will be most helpful for you. Here is an important detail that you really need to know, okay? So remember what I'm going to say. Most of the spiritual battles that we face as Christians take place in the mind. This is where Satan attacks Christians the most, to distort our beliefs about God, about people, and about ourselves. And you may wonder, well, why the mind? Because if Satan can influence the way you think, it will ultimately influence the way you act. That is why Paul tells us to put on the helmet of salvation, which is one of our defensive weapons. The helmet points to our identity as the saved people of God, but it also protects our minds from the lies of the enemy. So when we put on the helmet of salvation, we are choosing to think like someone who is saved, healed, delivered, redeemed from sin. So when a thought comes our way that seems to contradict who we are in Christ as the saved one, that is an attack of the devil. So the way that this might play out is, let's say that growing up, we received praise only when we got good grades. And this thought comes to our mind, well, if I do well, then I'll be accepted. And while a thought like that might seem harmless at first, if it gets reinforced enough over the years, it will eventually become a stronghold, which is a fortified belief. And our identity will no longer be based on what Christ did for us, but it'll be based on our performance. We're going to do everything we can to hit the mark. And when we don't, we'll feel like a failure. So a good question to ask then is, well, how do you know if you're believing a lie from the devil? One method is to keep track of your self-talk. These are the unfiltered thoughts that flood into your mind as you go about your day. Are these thoughts positive or negative? Does it build you up or tear you down? Does it draw you to Jesus or away from him? Does it line up with God's word or does it contradict it? In spiritual warfare, it's important to identify the lies that come our way, but it's also equally important to recognize the truth that will replace that lie. So this brings us to one of the only offensive weapons listed in Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is how Jesus fought against Satan when he was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. Do you guys remember how Satan tempted Jesus? He kept saying to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you're the Son of God, do this. If you're the Son of God. Satan was attacking Jesus' identity as the Son of God. The lies of the enemy always wage war against our Christ identity. And the way Jesus fought Satan was with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And in the same way, we can fight back using the Word, which is sharper than any double-edged sword. That is why it is helpful to memorize Scripture, because you don't know when you're going to need it. You want to have it at your disposal so you can wield that sword whenever the enemy comes at you with a lie. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 to 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. That word take captive in Greek translates as prisoner of war. So we want to take the enemy's lies and make it a prisoner of war. So the way that we fight back is we take the lie captive to obey Christ and we replace it with the truth. So for example, let's say that you run into a situation this week that makes you feel anxious or afraid. You would say, I take these anxious thoughts captive and make it obedient to Christ. And you replace it with the opposite, which is the truth, and say, God, your word says that you keep those in perfect peace whose minds is stayed on you. So I choose to keep my mind fixed on you, and I receive peace as my portion, not anxiety. There is power when we speak the word of God out loud. That is a picture of us wearing the armor and wielding the sword to deflect the enemy's lies. So I encourage you to try that out the next time you recognize a lie from the enemy. So after having put on the armor, what then is our posture as soldiers in God's army? Well, it says in Ephesians 6, verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Four times in this chapter, Paul tells us to stand. Doesn't it seem kind of strange to you that our position after having put on the armor is simply to stand? You know, as a soldier in battle, I would think that it's to run and take charge. Standing almost seems like a defensive posture. Well, as I prayed about this and meditated on this, I felt like the Holy Spirit showed me the reason why Paul tells us to stand. And it's because our battle belongs to the Lord. And Jesus has already won it for us at the cross. If you remember back in Ephesians chapter 1, it said that God seated Christ at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Hallelujah. That means through his death and resurrection, Jesus conquered sin, Satan, and all his demons. That means as Christians, we too are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And we fight from a place of victory, not for victory. Let me say that again. In Christ, we fight from a place of victory and not for victory. Guys, that means in Christ, we are on the winning team. Do you know how much easier it is to win when you already know the outcome? We can relax and rest because the burden's not on us. The burden's on Jesus, and he won the battle for us. So knowing that we are fighting from a place of victory at the cross, we stand. We stand our ground and refuse to give the devil an inch when he comes our way with his lies. We stand in the strength of Jesus Christ, and we wield that sword until we win the fight. So to close, I'm going to actually invite you all to stand if you're able to. We're going to do a prophetic activation today. Every single one of you in this room is a soldier in God's army. We have an enemy, the devil, who hates us because he hated Jesus. And he will do everything in his power to wage war against us and in our identity in Christ. But we have been given the armor of God. So we're going to put it on today. So as an act of faith, would you open up your hands as a sign of receiving the armor? And as I declare these words over us, I want you to actually imagine that you're putting on the armor spiritually, okay? So as soldiers in God's army, we stand firm and we put on the belt of truth buckled around our waist. We put on the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus that protects our heart from every accusation of the evil one. We put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, so that wherever we go, we are releasing shalom and unleashing the kingdom of God into those spaces. We hold up the shield of faith, our confidence and trust in God's faithfulness, which extinguishes every flaming arrow of the evil one. We put on the helmet of salvation that protects our minds from the enemy's lies. And we lift up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. As soldiers in God's army, we stand firm. We stand in the strength of Jesus, who won the battle at the cross, made us more than conquerors through him who loved us. So let us stand, church. Let us stand and win the fight. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.